in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Nerd's Domain podcast. This week, I'm here with Tiny from The Obsessive Viewer.
Hey, guys.
And Tiny and I just went and saw Insurgent. That was Insurgent, right?
Insurgent. The Divergent Insurgents, yes.
Yeah, because I spent the last, like, 5 minutes of the movie that was clearly just setting up for the next movie going, what's the next? Is it Resurgence? Is that the name of the next movie? What's the next one? Real quick, I want to thank our Patreon subscriber, Jay. Jay, we appreciate that you are subscribing and all that you have done for us, all $5 of it, and we hope to see all $5 of it next month, too. Remember, folks, if you want to subscribe to our Patreon and support us, you can go over to patreon.com/nerdsdomain and do that there, and we will announce your name, and not just a letter, we would give you a whole name if you'd like, and tell everybody about how awesome you are right here on the podcast, on all of our podcasts. So, with that kind of quick little commercial there out of the way.
I'm used to it.
You actually saw Divergent, right?
I did, yes.
Did you see it in the theater?
No, I just watched it at home, which I'm glad I did, because
yeah.
I really didn't care for it.
I'm not going to say it was a bad movie, but it definitely was not. It was definitely a January movie, which is where they put it.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible. It was better than I, Frankenstein.
Yeah, well, it doesn't get much worse than that, so.
Well, there's at least one.
Well, yeah.
First, we're at Studio Movie Girl. We're recording live in kind of their, I don't know, hidden away lobby. I didn't even know it was here.
It's tucked back here, but it's perfect for our purposes.
Yeah, I kind of like it. So Studio Movie Girl, if you guys aren't familiar with, you should look up. It's a great little movie house slash restaurant kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very nice. They have some very nice rules about disruptive patrons and removing them, and
yeah.
They try and make you have a good experience, not just a movie. So that, I like that.
And the food is good.
Yeah.
I've been
yeah.
here twice, and both times, like this time I got the fish and chips. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. I always pass up pork chops every time, and then this time I was like, pork chop, eat with your hands. And I'm like, yeah, I will. And the only problem with the pork chop was there was one.
Oh,
I needed
really?
Like four of those because it literally, it was the bone that came out so I could hold it like a club and just chew on it and it was delicious. And the mac and cheese had pieces of pork in it.
Oh, wow.
That was really good too. So yeah.
Nice.
I like the food here. We never had a bad meal here.
Nice.
So Insurgent, I don't know the director. I didn't do any of the technical work on this because why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
Prepare for the podcast.
Me either.
Honestly, I just wanted to come out and see a movie and get it on the podcast because
yeah.
it's been such a long time since we've done an immediate movie review.
Okay.
I want to say the last one was like Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, wow. That was last summer.
Yeah, that we recorded here.
Wow.
So, I don't know. You saw Divergent.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
Man, that was back, I don't know, probably this time last year when I saw
okay.
it.
You guys really slow or you yeah. just worked double?
So, yeah, you saw it at home. I saw it at home, too. It was not something, I knew it was coming up, and the concept interested me. I'm
yeah.
always up for a dystopic future kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, it's another young adult book.
Yeah, like, and it falls into too many subgenres that are just stale
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Young adult, dystopic future. It's very Orwellian, you know,
yeah.
Big Brother stuff. It's just played out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, not that I don't appreciate the Hunger Games for what it is, but I really feel like this is just riding those coattails for no other reason than to ride the coattails and try and make more money.
Yeah.
I didn't find the first one bad. There were a couple of places here in this one that I went, really? Like they couldn't figure out a way?
Yeah.
Or, really, that's what the director's doing? Like, I really hate the quick, like, there's the building off in the distance. Let's zoom super fast.
Yeah.
Into this one little window. And
there's a lot of that in this movie.
Yeah. There's some questionable tech choices. Like, oh, well, there's this thing that we totally couldn't figure out how to remove. You really couldn't figure out how to remove that? Like, I can think of four ways. I'm not a doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and then the movie explained irony to us.
I know.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
Explained what irony was, and it murdered me.
There was some bad dialogue in this.
Yeah,
I feel especially bad for Kate Winslet,
yeah.
because, I mean, she just
yeah.
has to, she's basically an exposition machine.
Yeah, that's all she does.
Yeah, she's like, I'm thinking of all the divergences the same, but they're different. It's like, thank you for externalizing that for the audience.
Yeah.
It's really, it's just cheap writing. It's lowest common denominator.
And I don't know if the book is like that.
I don't know either, yeah.
The book could be perfectly fine, but in that translation to a screen, to screenplay and then to the screen, I just don't.
There's always that risk.
Yeah. I don't know. So the story from the first one is that there's this city, it's Chicago.
Yeah.
And it's made pretty plain that it's Chicago. I think they come out outright and say it if you don't just see it on things. And
definitely.
I recognize the pier and what was Lake Michigan.
Right. I think the Sears Tower is pretty prominently featured.
That's very possible.
At least in the first one.
It's totally like post whatever happened. And, you know, there's this city divided into five factions. And then there's the factions. So each faction has a specific job and duties and so on and so forth.
Uh-huh.
I like the concept for it. I really do. I think it's great. I don't know if the way they went about this whole Divergent thing is super great.
I'm not sure about it either. I think the factions are just kind of... It's just kind of weird. It's just... It's different in that... It's different in that with the Hunger Games, we have people who are basically forced into their circumstances because the country's divided.
Yeah.
It's on a bigger scale, of course. That makes a little more sense because you're born into this thing. But with this movie, you have choice.
Yeah.
And it seems weird that I hate to use the word again, but Orwellian government or like a tyrannical government would give people choice like that.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up for me. And it's just too unbelievable for me.
And the first movie made it very clear that if you chose to go to another faction, it was okay, but you'd always be looked at weird.
Right.
And it forced that very hard, but you don't see any indication of that later in that movie or in this movie.
It's literally manufactured conflict.
Yeah.
Which is, it doesn't feel natural.
That's true.
It feels forced, so. True. That's how I feel about it anyways.
I don't know. The movie wasn't bad. It wasn't the worst directing I've ever seen. It wasn't the worst script I've ever seen. But it really was not great. I didn't have super high hopes up for it, though. Mm-hmm. So I just expected it to be about the same as the last movie. And it came in right about there.
I think they made some improvements. I think the action was substantially better.
Yeah, the action was smooth. I will say that. The action was very smooth.
Yeah, the first movie, it was very... it was just stiff to use the... the opposite of what you said, but it really was. It didn't even feel like it was choreographed. It felt like just real basic and nothing. Mm-hmm. There's no style to it at all.
Yeah.
A lot of tight shots where you can't even really see what's going on.
Yeah.
As opposed to something like some of the best choreography ever choreographed fights is like the Matrix movies.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, say what you will about those movies, but the fights were unbelievably good.
Yeah.
You know, that was all wide shot for the most part. They showed you what was going on. It had a physical feel to it, but the action in these movies have been very just. Too in the middle of it, like just tight shots and just not, you don't get a feel for anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any style to it. It's not unique to anything. And this movie was slightly better, the second one, Insurgent, but not much. And I still want a lot more out of it.
Yeah. So we don't know the director or the screenwriter. The main character is acted by an actress whose name does not come to mind.
Shailene Woodley.
Okay.
Yeah.
She was in that movie that did really well last year that I can't think of either.
Fault in Our Stars?
There you go.
Yeah.
See, this is why you're here. This is why I have co-hosts, so I'm not just talking to myself. I think she does all right, although some of her, like, pained expressions and her near cries are a little rough, and she squeaks a lot.
True, she does.
Which... wouldn't normally bother me, except it pulled me out of the movie a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
But especially when she's in that simulation and she jumps off the building to go around it with the rope.
Yeah.
And she squeaks on the way down, and I was just like, oh my god.
I noticed it. I was like, was there a mouse in there? What was that?
Yeah. It just, in the worst times, I don't know.
They're obviously going for a tough aesthetic with the character.
Mm-hmm.
She's supposed to be rugged, but I just do not buy that from Shailene Woodley. I think she's a fine actress, and I think she was substantially better in this movie. But I just don't get that. She just doesn't have that tenacity.
Yeah.
Like I buy it from Jennifer Lawrence. She has that personality. Yeah. But I for some reason, I just can't. I don't get it from her.
It's hollow with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I think she was better in this movie, though.
Yeah. Ashley Judd's in this for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And that's, she's all right.
Yeah, she's fine.
But her character isn't supposed to be out of the park or anything.
No.
Kate Winslet is okay. I mean,
she had a little more to work with this time, too. I think everybody did, but she really needed it. Man, that character in the first movie was... I know that Kate Winslet was pregnant when they filmed the first one, so maybe that hindered her performance a little bit. I don't want to be sexist. Don't blow up Nerds Domain website with sexist comments.
Yes, you want to go to obsessiveviewer.com.
That's right. Directed our, hey, we'll take the traffic. We don't care. but yeah, I think she was a substantially more formidable villain in this movie.
Yeah.
I appreciated that performance.
She's obviously a much more forefront of a villain in this movie.
The
last movie was everybody else is a villain. Oh, wait, now she has a plot that we didn't quite see. This one she had a plot from the beginning, which,
yeah.
That, you know, I felt good about that. There was a little bit of world building here. You got to see Amity, one of the factions, what they do and how they do it.
Yeah.
Which was great, except I didn't realize they were all supposed to be like peace-loving hippies.
They're hippies, yeah.
Threw me off a little bit too much.
Yeah, and then we also saw another faction called Candor, which was, that was a pretty effective...
It was.
A pretty effective move, because I don't know, it added a level of authenticity, obviously, because it's Candor. I don't know, it was interesting seeing the truth serum scene and everything. That was...
Yeah, and...
It was effective.
And it was a flip, because Amnony was very much emotional, and Candor was very much... lacking
logic
of that emotion,
yeah,
which I appreciated. And then we got to see some more of Erudite, and
yeah,
that's the super smart people. And I don't know, that they just come off cold and like a bunch of jerks.
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly the villains.
Yeah,
you know, or at least antagonistic. But back to the actors though,
absolutely.
I'm not quite sold on Jay Courtney,
okay,
who was like the main lackey. Guy, I don't remember what his name is even in the movie,
Peter.
But what is it?
Peter.
It's Peter. Oh, jeez.
Peter, yeah.
Four and Triss and all these
and
cool
Peter.
Names. And Peter. That makes sense. He's very vanilla.
Yeah.
He's like, you just plug him into a role and he just, you know, he's a very serviceable actor, but he just does not, he just has nothing to make him stand out.
Well, and I feel like the character he was playing was just dumb.
That's true, yeah.
Like he didn't see that the person that betrayed everybody in the first movie was going to betray him. Like,
yeah. He seems to always play that character, too,
because
he was in the movie Jack Reacher, which I really liked that movie.
Okay.
And he's basically the exact same kind of character. He's like a lackey for the true villain. And he's pretty much the same thing in I, Frankenstein, which we mentioned earlier.
Was he in I, Frankenstein?
Yeah, he's
that's
one of the...
so forgettable.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember is Bill Nye. Bill Nye. Yeah, Bill Nye, right?
Is it Bill... I can't remember. I tried to push
not
that movie
Bill
from
Nye,
my memory.
Bill Nye, yeah. Bill Nye.
Bill Nye. Yeah.
Well, I love him as an actor. And him
yeah.
What, Satan or whatever?
Something like that.
He was fun, at least. The rest of the movie, not so much.
Yeah. So, Jay Courtney, jury's still out on him for me.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the Terminator movie coming up where he's the male lead.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if he can actually shoulder that responsibility.
Yeah, because that's a big one.
And be interesting, you know?
And play against Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jason Clarke.
Yeah.
And who plays John Connor.
And I don't mean that in a bad way, but Arnold has a screen presence, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's his movie.
Like, yeah.
That's his movie franchise. He's missed one of five.
Yeah.
I mean, and in I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. And that fourth one was just a Christian Bale.
Pretty much. Kind of a Christian Bale vehicle.
Yeah, that was about it. It really... Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, tells you how good this movie is since we're talking about all these other movies.
Exactly.
So, I really... I don't know. I don't know what to feel quite yet about... I don't know. The movie was not bad.
It was okay.
I can't say it was bad. If you enjoyed the books... This might be something you want to go see.
Right.
If you enjoyed the first one, you thought it was great, I think you're going to have a better time.
Yeah, I had a little bit better time, but I'm still not...
Yeah.
I'm still not sold. It's, they're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. The soundtrack was... okay.
I can't recall it at all.
Yeah,
It didn't stand out in any way for me.
The new pseudo-villain, Four's mother, will be interesting in the next one. I don't know.
Kind of an anti-hero.
Yeah, she's a bad actress. Who is that?
Naomi Watts?
Four's an idiot. Because she's like, I don't know what happened to Triss. She must have left.
Yeah,
not seen her. That was like the...
Man.
And maybe it was just that scene, and it was a long day or something, but... Man, that was a bad take.
I absolutely love Naomi Watts. She's one of my favorite actresses. Top three, easily.
Okay.
She's just so terrific all the time. I think she's magnetic as an actress all the time. But that aspect was completely missing from this movie, from her performance. And I want to chalk it up to the script or director or something.
Naomi Watts was in...
Like, I mean, she was King Kong.
Okay, because I loved her in King Kong. And this one, I couldn't place her. It might have been the difference in the hair color. That probably was a big difference.
Yeah. Yeah, she's usually blonde.
But she was also very dry and not interesting. And maybe that's the other problem, is I didn't go, who's that? I went, look, they found somebody to play this character. That's great. I don't really care.
Over the past several years, she's done almost exclusively independent movies and small movies. So maybe she just needed a paycheck.
That's true. I mean, sometimes King Kong money only takes you so far.
Right.
So, I don't know, we talked about the movie.
There's not a lot to comment on. I mean, the plot is, it held my interest. I think it was pretty predictable.
There were some very predictable moments.
Oh, definitely. And there's certainly some plot devices that were very lazy, I think. Yeah. There's a part that there were two... You could almost say three dream sequences in the movie.
Yeah.
The opening is a dream sequence, and then there's one time where she's in a simulation, which is technically a dream, but they led the audience to believe that it's actually real life.
Yeah.
And you could just see through it like a veil. It was, there was just nothing to it.
I got up partway through the movie, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes in, came back, and felt like I didn't miss much, other than I was like, hey, who is that lady? And he's like, Mom. And I'm like, oh. Now I've gotten everything I needed. So I didn't even, I hate to say this, I mean, something I missed.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I missed much or missed enough to be confused.
Right, right.
I
can't think of the name of the male lead who plays Four.
Yeah.
Or Tobias, whatever.
Yeah.
We learn his name in this movie.
Every time I hear Tobias, all I can think about is Fume K.
Me too. Which is a way better character.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he blew himself, so.
Yeah. But he, again, I'm not sold on him, but I've seen him in far less things. I've only seen him in these two films. And I think there's potential there.
Yeah.
But the character is just, again, just very vanilla and dry. Not very specific.
Wow.
And so I'd be curious to see. I know he's British. I'd be curious to see what he can do in the future. I want to see him break out of this franchise and do something. Maybe he's better than we're seeing.
Yeah, I was confused as all crap, because I'm like, none of these people were in this movie. No, his name is Theo James.
Theo James.
It's not a bad name. I kind of like that name.
That's catchy, yeah.
I want to say he was in something else that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't know.
Other than Underworld Awakening, which I have not seen, thank God. No, he has not been in anything.
Really? He's hot. He's really hot. So
that, yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Yeah, I don't know. So overall, kind of a star rating out of 5, what do you think?
I'd give it a really soft 3.
Okay.
Just because, maybe that's kind of knee-jerk, because the first one, I would have given the first one like 1.5.
Okay.
But this I would give, just for the areas they improved on, I'll just give that to them.
Okay,
basically, yeah.
Well, so, hey, they doubled.
Yeah, they doubled, yeah.
I would have said the first one was probably like a 2, 2.5.
Okay.
I would say this was probably easily a 2.5, maybe scooting over to the 3.
Yeah.
This is something that if it were on TBS in the middle of the day and nothing else was on, I wouldn't go flip over to Netflix.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some aspects here that I like. I like dream sequences when they're used appropriately. These didn't seem terrible.
They weren't terrible.
They were used to keep us involved in the story and show us kind of the mindset of the character, which is hard, especially when you're going from a book.
Yeah, that's true.
To a movie. So I think they did a pretty good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated that. But I don't know. There's just not enough good here, you know?
I know. I wish I could put my finger on it. It's just not...
just seems off, like off key.
It is.
Slightly.
Yeah.
I am looking forward to the last movie, only to end the series, because I like to end a series now.
Right. You're completist.
And because there's going to be more world building in the third one, and world building is kind of a thing for me. I love that kind of stuff.
Oh, totally, so, yeah.
This one does end with a giant cliffhanger that can only explain that there will be another movie. The first movie, you could walk away from and go, okay, we're done.
Yeah, like, definitely.
But this one definitely cannot do that. There's no option for that.
Do you know, have they announced, are they actually going to do just a third movie and conclude it, or are they going to split it like they do with everything now?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know.
I don't know
I haven't
either.
Seen anything. If they went to do it in two separate movies, as long as it feels right and makes sense.
But it never does, though.
You know, you say that, and I at least with The Hunger Games Mockingjay, which is just called Mockingjay, let's just be honest.
Okay.
I hate when they take a movie franchise and name it after the first book.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones.
Branding.
I don't know. Maybe we could have called it A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah.
Because I still would have watched that show. Song of Ice and Fire, I would have watched that show.
Totally.
But Mockingjay has a clear split in it, and they split in that way.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with the concept. Whether or not the third movie was any good, it's up for debate, and that's fine. I didn't find it atrocious. I enjoyed it. I liked What's-Her-Face from Game of Thrones.
Jennifer Lawrence?
No, from Game of Thrones played... she was going to marry Joffrey.
Oh, yeah. Natalie Dormer is the actress.
Yeah, she's in it, and she's fantastic and does the character quite well.
She's great, yeah.
And actually, she's really strong in a couple of moments that she needs to be. When she explains why she joined the Resistance, and like she's strong and makes it clear. And I really feel for that. So
I have yet to see that third movie, I can't really comment on it.
Wait till it hit Netflix, because it will.
It will, yeah.
Because Hunger Games went there, Catching Fire went there. It's just a matter of time.
Right.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to the third movie for this one. I think that'll be great.
I don't know if I'm looking forward to it, but I'll go see it.
It's that completionist in the world building in me that really looks forward to it. So, real quick while I have you, and since we're running a little short, might as well talk a little bit. So, we saw a couple of previews tonight, and you're going to be on our, we're going to do two movie drafts. We're going to do one just in Nerds Domain in-house, and then we're going to do one that I like to call the Nerds Domain Border Skirmish. where it's going to be myself from Nerds Domain, and then you, Mike, and Matt from Obsessive Viewer, our friend Dan over at When Nerds Collide, and our friend Bruce over at Heroes and Villains.
Okay.
So all the six of us are going to get together and do a movie draft there. So you've been kind of studying up on movies over the summer.
Definitely.
You would have done that anyway because it's part of what you do for the podcast.
Right.
Is there anything specific you're looking forward to?
I'm really curious about the Mad Max movie that they're coming back with, because I think, I saw the original back when I was younger, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It holds up really well, even though it's from the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's Mel Gibson.
And it was made like $300.
Yeah, exactly. I just appreciate the fact that it feels like a reboot, but they're honoring the original.
Yeah.
The original franchise, because they brought back the director, the same director. So I think I appreciate that they're respecting the vision of the franchise there. And I just the trailer just makes it look like it's nonstop action.
Yeah,
and it's just like explosions all over the place. And sometimes that makes for a crappy movie because they don't pay attention to the story and the script and all that. But
sometimes it's okay.
It doesn't. Sometimes you just don't care.
I mean, Pacific Rim did not have the strongest of scripts or storylines, and still, I enjoyed the crap out of that movie.
Me too. I liked that movie too. I trashed it quite a bit, but at the end of the day, I had a great time in the theater with it. So,
anything else this summer that you think might be important?
Well, obviously the Avengers sequel. I mean.
Well, we got a few sequels. Furious 7 comes out. Technically, that's the first movie of our draft.
Oh, is it? Okay.
So I couldn't skip that one. Shirley would have killed me. They're huge fans.
Are they?
Also, it's a nice tactical way for me to drain her of all of her money before we get into anything.
Nice. I love the Furious franchise too. I mean, there's some real turds in that franchise, but. The fifth one just revitalized everything.
Yeah.
And I think the sixth one, they lost some momentum. But I don't know. I think hopefully they pick it up with this one. It looks like it's it looks the most over the top yet.
It looks like it's going to be over the top and ridiculous, which is exactly what I want out of that kind of movie. Like, I will go in expecting that.
Yeah.
And they're going to give it to me, so it'll be exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to Avengers, but I hate it only because I have to keep avoiding it in everything I do. Like, oh, new Avengers, anything. And I'm like, nope, not going to. I watched the trailer one time.
Yeah.
I'm only watching it one time. I'm never watching it again. Because wow. Marvel movies have a tendency to tell the entire story through trailer.
Sometimes, yeah.
And that gets old and very crappy.
Yeah.
So.
I understand.
I don't know. There was something. There's a couple other movies this summer. Ant-Man's coming out, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. I want to see how bad that's going to be.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Because it could be really good, but I'm going to set my bar really low. And then that way, when it leaps way over it, I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
And if it just kind of limps over it, then it's still over that really low bar.
Basically, for me, this year, after Avengers comes out, I'll probably see that at least twice in the theater.
Yeah.
It's really just a waiting game for Star Wars in December.
Oh, really?
I mean, that's what 2015 is about for me.
Yeah, I have an even lower bar for Star Wars.
Really?
I can't wait to be disappointed.
Oh, really?
I just...
Even after the prequel trilogy?
See, the thing is...
Can they go south from that?
Phantom Menace bothers me.
Uh-huh.
I like the other two movies.
Really?
The choreographing of the fight scenes in 3...
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Oh, 3 is a solid movie.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you know what? The rest of it, I can just shut my mind off for. and that's, I don't know. I've always been able to watch Star Wars and enjoy it. And I've always been able to put it on in the background and not have to worry about it and not continually look at it. And,
uh-huh.
And just Star Wars always played for me. And with other than Phantom Menace, I'm a big fan of the Machete order. Have you heard of this?
Uh-uh.
So you go 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's interesting.
You start with 4, so you go through New Hope, and you learn all about the characters. You see Empire Strikes Back. You learn that Luke's father is Vader. You learn all about Vader. You skip number 1 because everything is explained. The only thing you missed out on, and honestly, the best part of Phantom Menace, is the fight scene at the end between Maul and Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That fight scene is, other than why in God's name would you be fighting somewhere with giant blast shield things, like that's stupid. Yeah. Fight somewhere else. Other than that, like that fight scene is phenomenal.
It is.
That was one of the things they got right in that movie.
Definitely, yeah. I can agree with that.
And if you just cut out the parts where you have to watch Anakin fly around in a stupid starfighter,
that's interesting.
But so 2 and 3 lead you into 6. So you have learned all about Luke. Learned all about Vader, and then 6 has more of an impact. And I actually majorly sit down and watch that order.
Oh, really?
One day. That's all we did that day.
Oh my god!
And you know what? It has a better flow to it. It has a very specific thing you can do, and you don't need 1. Everything you learn in 1 gets explained to you in the opening credits and through like 15 minutes of dialogue because they expect you to not know it.
Yeah.
They treat you like you're stupid. It's a really unfortunate thing.
That's really... I hadn't thought of that. I might have to try that, because I haven't watched the prequels in a while, for obvious reasons.
I suggest that you find on YouTube where they have taken the Darth Maul fight scene and put it all together, because they have somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You watch that right before you watch 2. So you just go 4, 5, 2, 3, 6.
You know, I'm interested in that, too, because I know Topher Grace, the actor, he, at one point... Somewhere in L.A., he actually took the first 3 movies, and he did his own edit and edited them into 1 movie. It was like 3.5 hours, but he just made it about Anakin Skywalker.
Oh, yeah.
And just about that, the evolution of that character and how all of the conflict centers around him.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it. He can't distribute it and make money off of it because it's a private, whatever, trademark stuff. But... I've heard someone describe it to me. He left out the only parts of Phantom Menace he left in were like 15 minutes, if that.
Yeah.
And everything else is from 2 and 3. But so I'm always interested in that because you know the interested in stuff like that where people re-edit like really famous properties.
Yeah.
I might check that out at some point. I'm going to rewatch the movies before December.
Yeah, it's that plus everything that I grew up reading. Is now invalidated.
That's what sucks.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you where you grew up. I think we're around the same age.
I'm 28.
Okay, so you're a few years younger than I am.
Uh-huh.
But there was a slew of books, and I started reading all of them. And so everything up until they hit, like, the New Jedi Order, I read all of that. And to me, that's my Star Wars canon. And then Disney bought it, and they went, we're going to make a new one, number 7. And I went, okay. All of it is now invalid, and stuff like... The prequels invalidated some of it, like where Boba Fett came from.
Right.
But the Thrawn trilogy is amazing.
I've read the first book.
Phenomenal.
I read the first book and was floored. I loved it so much.
Thrawn makes such a compelling villain.
Yeah.
And does things in the proper villain way, and he gets defeated. Oh, well. But that Thrawn actually sets up several other books because, well, when Thrawn came back and he did all these things, he set other things in motion that you didn't see in that trilogy.
Right.
Which I understand is probably editorial's way of going, oh, we should bring people back around to Thrawn. But it was at least handled in a way that made you feel like, oh, well, we're still dealing with this, the last parts of this. So,
right. That's fair.
I don't know.
I love Star Wars, man. It's just one of those things. I watched it with my dad when I was a kid. My dad introduced me to it, and I was like, there's swords that glow. Man, how can I not love this, you know?
Well, and everybody was up in arms about the stupid Sith sword with the stupid crossbow.
Oh, yeah.
And all I can think is, guys, if Lucas had any hand in this, that is going to be by far not the worst thing. Like, it'll be Jar Jar shows up again for no reason whatsoever, or we have another character that tries too hard to be whatever they think they need to be.
Right, right.
I have a friend, I have a guy I know, I won't call him a friend, who really defends all of the Star Wars movies and explains why it has to be that way. It doesn't. It really doesn't. You can make a better movie.
True, true. I'm one of the guys that watched the trailer when it came out and got choked up. I mean, it hits that nostalgic bone in your body, and it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just one of those guys.
I don't know. Yeah, to each their own, I guess. Yeah. At least it's not the Hobbit. Like, we went and saw the first Hobbit movie, and I was like, this isn't bad.
Yeah.
And then we went and saw the second one. I'm like, what happened here? Like, what went from okay to terrible?
Yeah.
And when did Thor and Oakenshield turn into a villain? Because I don't want this anymore.
I know. Yeah.
And then I've yet to see the third one. Like, we saw the first two in the theater. We did an immediate movie review for one of them.
Uh-huh.
And the third one, it came out, and I was like,
we could go
see it, I guess.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
The second one had a great ending.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, there were barrels that were ridiculous.
There were what?
Barrels in the second one.
Oh, the barrel, yeah. Ugh. It was kind of cool, but it was ridiculous.
Yeah, well, I mean, the goblin thing, like, I can accept a Rube Goldberg device once in a trilogy.
Yeah.
But, like, to explain that the dwarves are so good at only one thing, and that thing is Rube Goldberg devices, I cannot accept this. I can't.
It's magic, Matt.
Well, I mean, I get, but they're not supposed to be dexterous like that. If it were a bunch of elves, I'd be like, no, okay, yeah, sure, why not? But,
That's fair. I got you.
I don't know. Okay. Ugh.
I can't fight you on that one.
Is there anything else coming out this summer that's exciting? I should know. We have a whole list.
Yeah, there is.
Sadly, I can't access from my mobile device because Box Office Movie Draft is great until you're on a mobile device.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember at Starbase Indie was a convention that we were at, and I got our foot in the door because you mentioned us to the runners on that, the people who ran that show, and we did a panel about the summer movie, the upcoming summer movie series slate of all the movies that are coming up. So we have an episode about that, and we went in pretty good detail about all the big movies that were coming out. So if you would check, you can check that out, and we go into some pretty heavy detail about the summer.
That was back in November, so that should be on your feed somewhere in November, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I definitely should check that out. There we are. Trying to think if there's anything else. There were a bunch of movies this summer that I was like, eh. Pixels looks like it'll be fun.
It does, yeah.
Although, we talked briefly about Adam Sandler being a part of it, and that could always go bad.
Yeah, that's not a high point anymore. If it ever was, really.
And Kevin James is in it, which just means it's Adam Sandler got his buddy a movie role, which I don't have a problem with Kevin James. I actually found Paul Blart Mall Cop, the first one, because I haven't seen the second one.
Yeah.
I found it funny enough. It wasn't I, Frankenstein.
Yeah. I think Kevin James has a lot of potential, but
Yeah.
He's failed to tap it. His stand-up's funny. I like his stand-up.
Oh, Jurassic World is coming out. What am I thinking?
Oh, geez, how can we forget Chris Pratt?
Oh, I don't even care about that. I want to see dinosaurs.
What kind of dinosaur did you cook up in that lab there, or whatever he says in the trailer?
Yeah, and then Minions. Minions will be out.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, and then the remake of a classic film, Point Break.
The remake of Point Break? I didn't even know that.
It's one of the movies coming out this summer.
Why would they do that?
Honestly, if it's on TBS, I stop.
That movie's so great.
The movie is ridiculously bad and great exactly, at the same yeah. time. I don't understand how they did that.
Oh, man, I love that movie. That's unfortunate. That's just unnecessary.
Oh, no, I don't know. Keanu Reeves isn't going to be in it.
That sucks. That really sucks. I'm sad now.
I'm looking forward to Point Break just to see how terrible it's going to be.
Yeah, I'll
and
see
you never know. It may be like the next Bad Boys and be just phenomenal. Phenomenal in all of its ridiculousness.
Yeah, it could be.
Oh.
I'm very skeptical.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so you want to tell everybody a little bit about Obsessive Viewer if they haven't heard it before on our, our Jurassic Park episode you guys were on?
Yeah, Obsessive Viewer is a weekly podcast where we discuss movie and TV shows, and it's topic-driven. We discuss, some kind of show or movie or series, stuff like that. Our favorite party movies, favorite TV dads, favorite death scenes, all kinds of crazy stuff. We got all kinds of stuff we talk about. So you can find it at ovpodcast.com for the podcast, and we also have a blog that goes along with it. It's mostly Matt who does reviews for that. It's obsessiveviewer.com. You can go to Facebook, search for The Obsessive Viewer. You'll find it there. You can follow all three of us on Twitter. I'm at ObsessiveTiny. Matt is at Obsessive Viewer, and Mike is at I Am Mike White. And shoot us an email. You can send an email to Tiny, Mike, or Matt at ObsessiveViewer.com. Hit us up on Twitter.
Yeah.
Interact with us, whatever you want to do.
And they are serious about being Obsessive Viewers. You guys watched some ridiculous number of movies last year.
Yeah, just me. It was my goal last year. I watched 366 movies total.
Which means that you watched. One day you watch two movies. Every other day you watch one.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It was pretty bad.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah. I watched one movie for every single day of the year. So, yep. It was tough. I'm pretty burnt. I've only watched, like, this year, it's, late March, mid-March, I've watched, like, 20 movies total.
Wow.
Because I really burnt myself out, so.
Did you watch any of those movies more than once?
A couple of them, yeah. Like, I probably watched Avengers more than once.
Oh, fair enough.
Some other stuff I probably watched more than once.
We watched Groundhog's Day the other day.
Yeah.
And I could watch that movie, like, once a month.
That's a great movie.
I forgot how dark it gets.
It does.
Because it gets dark. Real
little bit,
dark.
A little bit, yeah.
All right, and then you also do the secular perspective. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, just a little bit. That's a little different. That's just about, we talk about religion and faith, and it's from the perspective of me and my friend Chad. We're both atheists, and we just talk about local or recent news about religion and what's going on. There's a lot of, we kind of mention politics pretty regularly, but it's, we try to be friendly. Sometimes we get along mean. We mentioned Ken Ham from the Ark Encounter and from Answers in Genesis like every single episode because that guy's nuts.
He provides material.
He's
funny.
He
really does.
Yeah, we can't not mention the guy. So, but yeah, we just kind of have fun with it. We're working on some stuff for that. We talk about movies a lot on that as well. So we have an episode coming out about the movie Saved, which is a really enjoyable movie. So yeah, check that out if you're into that kind of thing. If you're not, I understand.
Yeah. Right on. I think that'll do us tonight for the Nerds Made podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. You can head over to the website and sign up for the newsletter. You could go over to patreon.com, like we talked about earlier, and sign up there and support us. I'm missing something that's important. Give us 5 stars. That's where it is. Give us 5-star reviews over on iTunes. We really appreciate that stuff. And you can find our shirts over at /loot. And we will talk to you guys real soon.